Hi, this episode is about I, the Somnium Files, or AI, the Somnium Files. First 40 minutes or so are going to be spoiler-free. Feel free to listen to it and, you know, hear our thoughts if you want to pick it up or not. After that, we highly suggest you play the game and then listen to the rest of our podcast after the 40-minute mark, because that will be heavy spoilers. And our social media.
You could contact us, you could email us at dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. That's dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. And then you could also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at dayoneupdates. So that's dayoneupdates with the S at the end there. And yeah, just let us know, contact us, ask us any questions, and yeah. And enjoy the rest of the episode.
Yay.
Hey everyone, my name is Shukamo and we're at Day One Update, and I am here with...
Hi, I'm Goldar.
Just him this time, because he doesn't leave, he stays here. It's been 3 months. He hasn't left this room, and I don't really know what to do.
You gotta get more snacks, man. I'm hungry.
You're running out of snacks in this room.
I already drank all the what is this? Whiteboard cleaner.
Uh-oh. How does it taste?
Could you get more of this?
You actually.
All right, the real reason Air's not here is because he couldn't, like, he did not play the game that we are going to be talking about today.
Which is?
I, the Somnium Files.
AI, Somnium Files.
And specifically, like, hard not the AI, Somnium Files. Like, the game could not be more clear. It is not called AI, the Somnium Files.
Oh, I call it AI, Somnium Files, okay?
You kind of have to when you're explaining it to people, though.
The game is created, it was released on September 17th, and it was created by Spike Chunsoft.
Well, it was published by Spike Chunsoft.
And developed.
Okay, but the creator is Kotaro Uchikoshi.
Yeah, he was the main designer and writer and everything.
Yeah, if you don't know who that is the Zero Escape guy. That is Virtue's Last Reward, 999, Zero Time Dilemma, not in that order though, obviously. So this guy is kind of the big visual novel plot twist master guy.
So the funny thing is, the first way I heard about this game is when I was in EB Games and I was looking at the upcoming Nintendo Switch releases, and I saw the cover for this. I'm like, this game looks interesting. And this was before it came out, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, AI Somnium Files. All right, I should remember this, and when it comes out, I'll come check it and buy it.
So you're one of the rare people who is actually hooked by the cover.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then I forgot about it completely, and I went back to EB Games in October, and I saw it again. I was like, oh yeah, this is a game I wanted to get. And then I bought it there, and then I talked to you, and then you told me that it was created by the same guy.
You bought it there? I thought like it was sold out, and
it was sold out everywhere. I had to buy it from some like random game store.
Like a mom and pop store?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, then I talked to you, and then you told me it was made by the same guy who made 99 of Richard's Last Reward. I was like,
wait,
holy shit.
You bought it before you knew that?
Yeah, I didn't know it was made by him. I bought it after just looking at the cover and reading the synopsis. I'm like, this looks like a pretty cool mystery game, so I'm like, I'll check it out.
Yeah, no, it's I found out about it. I was on a thread on Resetera like earlier this year that they were freaking out about this ARG, this kind of live promo thing for the next Uchikoshi game. I'm like, oh, interesting. I'm definitely going to play this game, but I'll save this thread and I'll go through it after the game comes out and I get my hands on it and stuff like that. Mm. And then I just ended up getting it digital. Like when I think with the day you bought it is when I got it digital.
Yeah, I remember I called you that day I got it, and I'm like, oh, I got this game. And then we're like, oh, I'm like, gonna play it too.
Don't play it. I'm coming over. I'm bringing my Switch.
He came over that weekend, and all we did was play. Okay, you want to go over the ARG a bit first?
Okay, let's talk about the game itself.
Okay,
for people who don't know, and people who don't know what 999 versus Last Reward and stuff like that is. Somnium Files is a mystery visual novel puzzle game.
Yeah.
Mystery psychological thriller is like the best genre in terms of like plot. Mm-hmm. And it is very, very story heavy. The pattern is usually story, big, long cutscenes of story, where you are a character who picks dialogue options. You exhaust all the dialogue options, then you go to the next puzzle section. And then the puzzle sections are the gameplay elements, where they're far in between. There are how many? One, two. There are about 20, maybe less of those, but some of them you have to redo because there are multiple ways to do them. But it is a very story-driven game.
Yeah, it's basically a full visual novel. It's like it has some Ace Attorney elements with some puzzles here and there as well.
A lot of people are kind of turned off by visual novel. I want to play stuff. I just don't want to watch a bunch of cutscenes. But the visual novels nowadays have gameplay in them.
Yeah.
So like how Ace Attorney has gameplay segments, but obviously the gameplay is more involved than Ace Attorney and Somnium Files.
And visual novels are, for some reason, I find visual novels to be a bit more grabbing in terms of story and also character writing, because they're more developed.
I used to hate visual novels because I was one of those people who was just like, visual novels are just cutscenes. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is press X. There's nothing gameplay about it. And then when people kept telling me Ace Attorney is a visual novel game, no, it's not. It just has really, really long cutscenes, okay? But yeah, no, I've now I recognize Ace Attorney is a visual novel game, just as 999 Virtue's Last Reward is. Mm-hmm.
And I think you played 999 around the same time as well.
No, I never played 999. I played Virtue's Last Reward first.
Okay.
So I didn't have a DS at the time or a 3DS or anything like that. And 999 was DS only.
But I remember talking to you about 999.
Yeah, when it first... 2 or 3 days before Virtue's Last Reward came out, I was on the 999 wiki and I read everything. And I'm like, all right, I have a comprehensive understanding about 999 because people don't shut up about it on the internet. So I learned it all through the wiki because I had no way to play. I didn't have a DS. And then I picked up Virtue's Last Reward for the Vita. And I loved it. And since technically Virtue's Last Reward is my first Uchikoshi game, that remains at the top for me. But you have a different experience, right?
Yeah, I played 999 first, and it was a completely out of nowhere game I wanted to play because I just saw the cover again. And I was like, damn, it looks pretty cool. And the title, 999, I was like, it looks pretty interesting. So I played it. And the story and like the first 10 minutes of the game, I was just like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is such a mind trip. And I just kept playing because the story is just so intense. Yeah. And then I borrowed your Vita and I played Virtue's Last Reward.
Yeah.
And yeah, Virtue's Last Reward is really good too.
Yeah.
And then Zero Escape.
And if you like story games, if you like games with fantastic stories,
yeah,
well-crafted stories,
really good characters,
get Somnium Files. I think we both can agree, right?
Yeah,
exactly. If you don't like fun,
if you don't like fun as a whole,
then
I don't know what you're doing.
Then it is our job to make you like fun, and keep listening, we will convince you to get this game.
We'll try.
And also, I think halfway through we'll have a spoiler cast.
Yeah, halfway through we'll cut into spoilers.
So we won't talk about spoilers just yet. We'll have a very clear division so we can just like talk about our favorite stuff of the game itself.
So let's go into what we first did. So me and Gozar first got the game. He came over. We started playing it. Well, we didn't actually start playing it. Gozar told me that there was an ARG.
There was an ARG, which is fantastic.
If you don't know what ARG is alternate reality game.
Reality or augmented reality game? I've heard both.
I heard alternate.
I'm pretty sure it's augmented.
Augmented is like when you have augmented glasses and shit.
No, it's just extra out there, off the screen.
Okay, whatever. Either one works.
But basically, it started in, I think, February of this year. And basically what Spectrumsoft did was open up a bunch of Twitter accounts. Like, one is a Twitter account for the main idol character, who's the heroine of Somnium Files.
And there was another Twitter character, the fan.
Yeah, Oda, the quote-unquote fan, the friend and biggest fan of her, like, obsessive fan.
And also Uchikoshi.
Yeah, himself. And Uchikoshi, like, his actual personal Twitter account was interacting with these characters that he made.
We also noticed that there were some Twitter accounts that played along with it, and they were, like, Twitch streamers and, like, actual well-known accounts.
Yeah,
so, like, I'm wondering if Uchikoshi got them in on it, because they were asking questions that spurred the story along.
Maybe, or maybe they were just really into it, and they kind of knew what to ask. I'd be really interested to find out, what the deal was there. But also, they opened a YouTube account for this idol, and the first video was just this, you know, obviously it's not a real physical idol. It's a 3G generated. It's a
CGI.
CGI character using the game model, doing a dance video or a music video with dances.
Mm-hmm.
And then she keeps posting videos every week. kind of innocuous little things,
and then there's like small hints here and there every video, and
they get gradually creepier and creepier. Like there's something off about one of them, and then they get worse, and they're like they kind of get scary. And we won't really spoil the ARG.
Yeah.
However, I will say this. If you don't have to follow every single thing about it, mm-hmm. there is a YouTuber called Jack's Bag of Maca, M-A-C-C-A, who has like a part one, part two analysis that's really long for the entire ARG.
But he goes in deep, and he did a really good job of just nitpicking every little thing, which makes the ARG a lot more appealing and just
the way, more interesting. The way we did it, I think, was the most fun way to do it was we watched the video. Sorry, we watched the YouTube video. And then as soon as that YouTube video is done, we pressed play on the part one analysis, watched his analysis. As soon as that one is done, then we watched it ourselves, the second video. And then when part two rolled around, we didn't watch any of the videos ourselves. We just watched part two in its entirety.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. I thought it was a necessity. Yeah. But I think now it's just like a bonus little fun thing that I would still recommend people do.
It was something to throw you off on a path.
Yes. There is a very clear Uchikoshi-esque storyline that is there just to mess with people who are fans of 999 Plus Reward. And it is fantastic.
It was really interesting. I think we spent like 2-3 hours just going through the ARG.
Yeah.
And like then it got us so hyped for the game. And then we played it all night, basically.
Yeah. But us playing the game was fun. Because we essentially, his Switch was on the TV, mine was in handheld mode. And we were both going through until we hit the first puzzle. And basically the game opens. The very first scene is there's a serial murder. Or sorry, like a serial killer-esque murder, creep murder. And you play a detective who's trying to figure this stuff out. Like, you know, you're analyzing the crime scene, essentially. The first puzzle was, we both went through the first puzzle. And then we saw a split path.
Yeah.
Either you interact with this half of the puzzle or this half of the puzzle. That's where we both just like, damn it.
So like, what do we do now?
So what we ended up doing is you took one route, I took the other route. And then from there, the game goes
on wildly different. Was it even like a small like dialogue different? This was wild. Like the even the path of the puzzle was wildly different after that branching point.
This is the only puzzle I think that is very clearly, this is one path, this is the other path. Because all the other alternate paths for the puzzles are kind of hidden. This is one that's very clear, either pick that one or that one. But it essentially, it's not a minor difference.
There's the game changes difference.
So for example, on one branch, the like you continue to solve the murder of whatever case you were investigating, and the other path is you investigate something completely different on the other side of the city, and like they are no longer the same case because you find different clues in both of the investigations. In both of our routes, we found different clues, and we ended up just having wildly different investigations to the point where I'm like, you know what, this is impossible to play at the same time. I'm just going to turn my Switch off and I'm going to watch you play.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to play my own route when I get home.
It was it branched off so much; it was just so hard to keep track of because like. There's the game, the thing about this game, it doesn't have that big cast of characters. The characters are pretty small, but each character is just like they're so front and center and they play such a huge role that it just like all the different paths and like what happens to each character just throws you off completely.
And did you ever I remember going to the start menu and looking at the character file sheet and being at first being like there aren't that many, and some of these characters are taken up by Yakuza A, Yakuza B, or Waitress A, Waitress B, and I'm like, wow, man. And then halfway through, like partway through a story, I'm like, I still have question marks. Oh my god, there are still characters I haven't met yet. I did a complete 180 on like the number of characters. I think it was a perfect amount of
It was a perfect amount of characters for that story for sure.
And also something we didn't quite touch on, just like other games, there is a true-ish end. Like there's a final end that you can only like you have to play the game multiple times.
Yeah,
you have to see all the branching storylines. I don't want people to do what they did with Nier Automata. It's like they play until ending A and then they stop playing the game because I beat the game.
Yeah.
Because you didn't even hit the title, like you know the title credits.
It's pretty obvious though, like when that happens, because there's a few paths that pretty much are locked after a certain point until you beat another path, and then you get more information. Then you could go back to that path and beat that path. So it's pretty obvious that, like, when you reach the end, you're like, oh, I have to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Because we started on completely different routes, on your side of the route, how do you feel the plot twists were revealed? Do you think that, like, that was a good route to take the first time?
Like, honestly, I couldn't, like, it was the same amount of, like, excitedness and, like, so shock that that you had when I saw you finish the game, because I beat it before you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was the reveals, it was just in a different order, but it was still very, like, huge reveals that I found out.
Yeah,
to me. So, like, I don't think it affected me too much the way I played. Okay. It
because I remember as I couldn't help but feel like this is the best route to play, like the best order of routes, but it's only the three routes in the beginning, and then mm-hmm. after that you can do whatever you want. But for new players, I would highly recommend, and I'm going to try not to do spoilers, but when you're hit with multiple routes, the first route you want to do is Balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the very video gamey Somnium, like the video gamey puzzle section, Believe. And then when you redo that one, Do Not Believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you do those three in that order, after that, just listen to what the game tells you and where to go, and just do the rest of them at whatever order you want.
Yeah. Okay.
That, because that's the way I played it, and I've been thinking about it and, like, looking through the flowchart. That is really handy. Like, the in-game flowchart, like, mm-hmm. tells you what route you did and gives you synopsis of, like, in case it's been a while since you last went to that. I went through it and I'm like, yeah, if you did it in this order, then that plot twist would be spoiled. That plot twist would be spoiled. So I would recommend kind of doing it that way. So mm-hmm. Balloon, Believe, Don't Believe.
All right, so let's go over the game overall, right? So the game is about a detective who finds a body on a carousel with one eye gouged out.
Yeah, so real serial killer shit.
Yeah, creepy. And you're a detective that is a special branch of a police force that allows you to go into people's dreams, which is the puzzle part of the game,
mm-hmm.
and find out from their dreams, like, sort of clues that could lead you to the end of the case.
Yeah. So if the criminal is refusing to cooperate, or they just forgot something, or they're mm-hmm. not conscious, then you could kind of go in their brain and do puzzles. But obviously these puzzles are very strange and dreamlike, and they don't make sense.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to play is this, okay, these are not real world mm-hmm. Rules. These are dream rules. So anything goes.
Yeah. So the story, just as normal, what you would expect, the story gets more convoluted, the case gets more convoluted, and then it goes into this massive thing. The game itself, as we spoke, was a visual novel. What'd you think about the soundtrack?
Soundtrack is fantastic. I was literally listening to it on my way here.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has a very, like, ambient style soundtrack that keeps your tensions high throughout the game.
Yeah, I think it's important to note, like, there aren't a lot of game soundtracks so that you can just listen to on your, like on the bus or at home or whatever, because a lot of them depend on being ambient background stuff mm-hmm. to accentuate whatever the characters are doing or feeling. However, there are some fantastic songs. The typical end credit song that you hear, so good. I'm going to say the name, but Sustain in the Rain, I think, is mm-hmm. my favorite track of the entire thing. And everything around Sustain in the Rain is... Or Sustain in the Brain. No, Sinking in the Sustain.
Sinking in the Sustain.
Yeah, because they're all Singing in the Rain rhyme. So Sinking in the Sustain. That's mm-hmm. my favorite one.
And then we have the main theme song by The Idol.
Oh, that one. I thought you were talking about the title screen.
No, I'm talking about the Idol song.
I hated that at first, and then I heard it in game. I'm like, oh, it's this one again, whatever.
Yeah.
And then again, and then I catch myself whistling it unironically and, like, actually liking it. God damn it. Is this how it starts?
I guess so.
Oh, no. Are we idol otakus now?
The soundtrack was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Throughout playing the game, like, the soundtrack was prevalent. It wasn't, like, just in the background. Mm-hmm. It was something that actually added a lot to the game.
Yeah, I don't think... So anybody who's played Virtue's Last Reward and Zero Time Dilemma, the I can't remember what it's called, but the Bluebird theme, or the Bird in the Cage theme, you know, Luna's theme?
Mm-hmm.
That is a very prevalent theme in that series. While there isn't quite any song that's the the flagship song other than the idol song in Somnium Files. I do think that, like, whenever I try to remember Zero Escape music, all I can think of is that song, the Luna's theme.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Somnium Files, maybe it's just because I played it recently, I can remember a lot of songs and be like, I want to listen to this one, I want to listen to that one, I want to listen to that one, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, even throughout, I didn't listen to the soundtrack, like, on its own, like you did. I just listened throughout the game. And, like, there was a few tracks, but I forgot when they played. Well, some of them during the puzzles. When you're playing the puzzles and you uncover more clues and clues, that shit gets ramped up. And it, like, it makes you freak out.
The whoever did the soundtrack for this, I can actually pull up the name right now, but it is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it's the same guy who did Virtue Last Reward.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe same girl. OST, who did this? What else? So what did you think of the characters?
Characters are fantastic.
Okay.
Like I said, there was like a small main cast of characters and then there were supporting characters. And the main cast of characters were, like, since they have like this kind of a small cast of characters, they're able to develop each of these characters really, really well. And especially since they have different paths along the game, those paths end up like really fleshing out some of these characters and really making like you some of the characters you would hate at first, and then you play that path, you're like, maybe he's not so bad, maybe so, the character not so bad.
A quick aside, Keisuke Ito is not the same person who did 99 Virtual Last Rewards and Time Dilemma. However, he or she did do World of Final Fantasy, Pokemon Supreme Mystery Dungeon, Tokiden Kiwami, Yakuza 3,
wait, what?
Lost Odyssey. Wow. Okay.
Interesting.
I really like this OST. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you about the character stuff. There is one specific character that I hated, that the main character hated, that everybody in universe hated. And then when you play their route, it's like, wow, this character is just fantastic, actually. Yeah. This kid is a really deep character.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finish that route and go to another route, you're immediately like, ugh. All that character development's gone. I hate this character. Which is kind of great.
Yeah.
I love the fact that, okay, the character development is gone in this route, but you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Even like the character designs, like they're all very unique. A lot of them have their own color palette. A lot of them had their own distinct characteristics that were just for themselves. Like the idol was like, her color palette was pink, and then pink and white. And then you have the stalker who was blue and red.
Yeah. They're like character designs. I really liked a lot of them. Even the characters were kind of like background NPCers. They still kind of had that distinct look that as soon as you look at them, you kind of get, what kind of character are you? Okay. The idol, Hitomi, the idol's mom, Aset's mom. As soon as you look at her, you kind of get what kind of role she'll play, who she is. Yakuza background characters, they look unique, but they're still kind of just Yakuza background characters.
And
I will say this, though. There, design-wise and also personality-wise, there isn't a single weak character, in my opinion. Like, in the other Uchikoshi games, there's always one cast member where, I don't care about you.
Yeah.
And in this game, there is a character who you hate, but you're supposed to hate. You know? And it's very clearly designed that, oh, yeah, you don't like this character, and the main character doesn't like this character.
Mm-hmm.
But that means they did a good job.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a single weak character in Somnium.
Yeah, the best character in this game, by far, Kagami.
Who?
Kagami.
Who?
Kazima? I don't want to give any spoilers, but if you meet anyone named Kagami in the game,
just make sure you know
keep pressing A on him repeatedly.
Like, don't keep stop. Asking his name.
Yes, exactly.
I will say my favorite character is Kagami Date. Kaname Date.
Yeah, his character was, he's a main character, obviously, but he had he had his own story that was unfolding throughout the game,
like,
as well.
He wasn't like, just because you barely see him doesn't mean he doesn't have personality. Like, he has oozing personality out of all of his dialogue choices.
Yeah,
he has such good chemistry with like pretty much the entire cast. And my before this, my favorite character of Uchikoshi game was Sigma, but I feel like Date is Sigma but with way more color.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, he wasn't just your average character protagonist that you kind of fill your own personality into. He had his own personality, and that personality was just like, he was so good at speaking with people. He had his own jokes that he would throw around to himself sometimes. Like, it was just like, he was such a cool character, and the way he handled these cases and stuff like that, like, it made him very intriguing.
Yeah.
And his own character story, like, I love this game, man. Like, they tell you, like, these small, they give you a bunch of numbers, right? Let's just say that, about different events that happen. And then you could kind of try to align them in the beginning according to when they happen. But man, like, they give so much to the story of this character as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah. And also the script is very good. Like, the script is all going to be character-based, because all the lines are either the main character thinking or somebody speaking. So the script is kind of tied to character.
Yeah. But it also has, like, its own, like, narrator type background script. So, like, it kind of gives its own ambience to the environment you're in.
Yeah.
So, like, as if you're reading a novel, right? It gives you, like, the feeling that...
It very rarely felt like it's a Japanese game translated. It actually felt like this is how people talk.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of things where it's like, oh, this puzzle means blah, blah, blah in Japanese. And, like, they kind of had to do it like that for localization.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that nobody actually really talks like that. But for the most part, like 90% of it was very well scripted, in my opinion.
So let's go to gameplay. So we both played on the Switch.
Oh, yes. The gameplay of the video game. Yes.
So the gameplay was press A to the cutscenes. And then and then there was the puzzles, which is it's a 3D environment. You're a 3D character that you control. And you walk through this map and you have to solve puzzles and interact with items and stuff like that.
Yeah, this is the only third person part of the game.
So the main thing of the puzzle that kind of puts you on edge is there's a timer. So you only have
360 seconds. But seconds only go down when you, like, if you stay still, the timer stops. It goes down
very slowly.
Like, yeah, you it's like a second for every hundredth of a second or something.
You can pause, by the way, also.
Yeah, you can freely pause. The only thing that actually costs time is moving around, like walking around, and interacting with items. So, like, if you want to pick up this stapler over here, you can pick it up for 10 seconds, you can investigate it for 15 seconds, you can click it for 30 seconds, but because it's a dream world, maybe clicking it in will cause the posters on the wall to fly off.
Yeah.
You know? It's and a lot of it is trial and error and experimenting.
So, like, this kind of prevents you from just touching everything. It kind of puts you onto an edge where you're like, okay, so I have to do something with this item. I don't know what to really do, though. And you kind of have to try to figure out. And they also have these little things. Which
is a problem for us completionist kind of people who want to do everything. There are so many times where I do a dialogue thing and I accidentally click the proper dialogue thing and I skip the other ones. So I reload a save because I want to see those other dialogue branches. So this gameplay thing where I'm not allowed to touch everything is... Well, okay, technically you are, and you're expected to touch everything, and then just use the restart. Like, there's a restart built into the game. Either restart the entire puzzle sequence instantly in the main menu, or just press start, and you can go back certain steps a limited amount of times.
There's also, like, they added this thing, kind of another puzzle thing called timies, that they call. So basically you get, like... little manipulators of time. So you get like 1/8 or 1/2.
Yeah,
or,
I really like those.
And so, pretty much they cut the time by 1/8 or 1/2, depending on what you get. Or so, you could multiply it by like 20 or 10, like depending on what you get.
So there are certain times where it's like, all right, this thing, like picking up the stapler is and clicking it in is what I have to do to advance the plot. However, it costs 50 seconds. Unless I pick up my phone and investigate it, it does nothing, but it gives me a timey of 1/10. So I can use that. I pick up the phone, investigate it, I gain that 1/5 timey, and then I click the stapler for 50 seconds, but instead I use this one time, the 1/5 or 1/10 timey, and I only use up 5 seconds. So you kind of have to, you know, negotiate and see that, be like, all right, I could do the direct route, but I run out of time, or I can do some branches, waste a little bit of time, but ultimately save time. It's a pretty cool puzzle.
Some of the puzzles were really well thought out. Like, this is my issue as well. So some of the puzzles were really well thought out. And if you actually paid attention to the story, you could actually solve the puzzle just by listening to the story, right? You don't really have to second guess anything. You kind of figure out what to do.
Yeah. And my favorite part of the game is a very specific Somnium. Like, it's a very specific puzzle section. It's by far my favorite part of the game. However, my least favorite part of the game is also a different puzzle.
Yeah.
And the very specific one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like some of them, some of these puzzles are so nonsensical in what you have to do and in the order of it that it just, it literally kind of makes it very difficult to do without trying, without like a guide or something, I would say. Because like, it's so random. Like some of the items, like you do one thing off and you're done. Your puzzle, your entire puzzle run is done.
Yeah. Like pick up this key. What key? There are 8 keys. This specific key, and then go to this specific door. Not the right door. No, you have to go to that door, and then that door. You, despite the fact that there are 20 doors in this room, go to that door and that door and that door in this order. And like, how am I supposed to know that?
Yeah, like it makes no sense sometimes.
I get the idea. It's you're supposed to do all of the doors and use up the retries over and over again. But it's like at some point, that's the trial and error is okay and it's fun, but having to redo stuff using the reset button is less fun. You know.
Yeah, and especially like if you have that many different items to interact with, people lose their patience after a certain time, right? You can't expect them to like, all right, door 1, door 2, door 3, door 50, door 56, door 50. Like,
honestly, if like that specific, like, we're talking about the same puzzle. Yes, but exactly. If there was no guide on the internet or like anything like that, that would be the point where I stopped playing.
Exactly.
Unfortunately.
That's, yeah, you know? For sure. But some of the puzzles, like they were great, like fantastic puzzles that added so much to the story.
Thematically, in particular, there are two that are great. And for the most part, some of the puzzles are fun. Like they have weird little, oh, pick up a basket. What do? You wear it? Yes, you wear it.
Yes,
you wear it. Every single time it says something wear on your head, you always wear it. And I think on PS4 you get a trophy if you get a trophy for that.
Yeah. that was the only main gripe with there was also a few glitches, but I think it was because we're playing on the Switch version. Yeah, we haven't played on the PS4, so we're not sure.
So I'm pretty sure it's the handheld mode specifically for the Switch, because it never happened to me docked.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times where when you do a dialogue and you're talking to somebody and they want to do like a brief flashback, they don't change the whole scene. They have a window pop up where the scene flashbacks while the character is still talking in the present. What happens is before that thing pops up, the little window of the flashback, it can pause for a little bit. Like the game will keep running, the music will keep going, and the characters will keep animating their, you know, their past poses. But it waits, like it has to load in the background window.
Yeah, and it takes a while sometimes.
So every single time it happened to me, I just opened up log and then exited and it loaded, or I opened up menu, exited, loaded, and it loaded. However, and you were there because... I was at the very end of the thing. I was at the conversation that was exposing all of the mysteries.
Yeah.
And I was going, what? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And obviously there are a lot of flashbacks, so it got kind of annoying to have to open up menu, close it, open up, close it. And then it soft locked on me.
Yeah. I think you waited for a bit.
I waited for like a good 3.5 minutes
and
nothing happened. I'm like, all right, well I have to redo it. Thankfully I saved in the middle of the conversation earlier, so I don't have to redo the entire cutscene. However, it really undercut the emotional punch of this shocking cutscene, you know.
So that happened to me a bunch of times as well, but I didn't know that you could pause the open up the menu and quickly go through and cut someone in half. So I just ended up waiting half the time. So sometimes like it would happen, I'm like, oh okay, it's happening again. I'd pull out my phone and just start watching YouTube videos because I was like,
it was that long?
Some of them were like four or five minutes. I had to wait.
Damn.
And I was just like, all right, just watch a YouTube video in the meantime. But like then again, like you're going through such an intense conversation, and the fact that I had to pull out a YouTube video just to pass the time, it throws you off so much.
Right? Apparently there's also it's either the PS4 or the Switch version, but there's a specific Somnium that if you save in the middle of it, you can never load that save up again.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember which one it is though. However,
interesting.
Yeah, there are some unfortunate glitches, and it also like the game crashed on me. Like the game shut off on me.
It crashed on me once too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's crashed at the same spot, but it happened to me randomly, and it happened once that I never bothered mentioning it to you when we met up again, and like, but yeah, it's.
It's good that it has an autosave, and it has a pretty good autosave. I haven't found the fact like when it crashed, I had to go back, or like when I had to reload.
And you can save in the middle of, like, you can save pretty much whenever you want. Like a manual save, you can do it whenever you want.
But even so, if the game crashes on you, the autosave is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So you're not going to really lose much in terms of save.
But honestly, that's like the only negative that I have for it. Like the
yeah, really, that was the only
one specific Somnium puzzle, and then the little bit of technical glitches.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I can't even think of any plot things that I found as a negative.
Really. Yeah, so, like, this game, like, I have to admit, like, if you didn't play a lot of these Japanese-type story-type games or visual novels, some of the tropes that are in these games are going to throw you off, because, like, if you're, like, there are some points where, like, it goes, like, oh, it goes really cutesy, or it goes really this style, and it's because it's a Japanese-type of culture-type game, right? Mm-hmm. If you haven't played this type of games, that could throw you off, potentially, because, like, I do have a friend who I showed this game to, and he's, like, he goes through, like, these really intense moments, and then this stuff randomly happens, right? And then he's, like, that just completely threw me off. But, like, for us, we played so many of these games that we're just so used to it, right? So I could see if you don't play these type of games, it could throw you off a bit.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
It's not that bad. It's not as bad as others. But the game is very dark overall, but yeah. it has those moments.
The hyper-specific Japanese fan appeal stuff, there's less than a Danganronpa game, for example.
Mm-hmm.
In that, but it's still there. I don't think it's that distracting, though. It might be a little bit odd, but it won't take away too much from the game. Once you're into the game far enough, I think somebody would look over that.
So what else is there about the game?
Is there anything else before we move into the spoiler cast? And do we want to add a spoiler cast at the end of this, or do we want to do a separate episode for the spoiler cast?
I think we should just add it to the end.
Okay, cool.
Then, I don't know.
Okay, so there's... okay, final results. What would you... and also one very important thing for people who are interested in this game. Unfortunately, due to the nature of this game, there's very little replayability value in
this.
Yes,
that is true. Once you 100% it, there's really no point of you playing it again.
Well yeah, there you can do the puzzles in a more efficient manner, so you can get like bonus pictures and stuff like that. Like, you can fill out your album. However,
this is also for the fact that Switch doesn't have achievements or trophies. So since we don't have that thing to look back on to say, okay, I need 100% this, there's really no reason for you to go back and do that.
Because once you 100% the story, there's no other story segments or anything. Yeah. There's no optional missions, any of that. So if you are somebody who's okay with, you know, getting the game and playing it over a long period of time, because what do you remember how many hours it took you to finish the game?
20 something.
Okay. 20 to 30 hours is how much it took, but we looked at everything.
I also ended up beating it within like 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. We beat it in like a span of 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
because we were hooked and we did nothing else but play those games. However, we also spent a lot of that time just looking at everything.
Exactly. Yeah,
and we looked at it twice because there are different dialogue choices and jokes.
See if I could pull up the how long it took to beat. How long?
Yeah, but I would say, unfortunately, like it was the same thing with Virtue's Last Reward. I bought that game, I beat it in less than 48 hours, and I could have returned it. And the only reason I kept it is because I just loved this game so much that it would feel wrong to return it.
So. The main story, if you just do the main story, do nothing else, it's going to take you 24 and a half hours. If you are a completionist, 32 hours.
Ooh, really?
So not even that big of a...
I would say thing. Completionist can be a lot less than that.
That's what completionist says here. It says 32 hours.
Okay.
And this is a game where it disaggregates everyone's time.
Yeah.
For how long it took for them to beat it.
Although a completionist would also look at everything. So
53% of people on this beat it on PC.
Okay.
28% on Switch and 18% on PS4.
That makes sense. There's a pretty big Uchikoshi following on Steam and stuff like that. And also his games are huge in the West. He makes games for the West. For some reason, Japan doesn't like his games. And I don't get it because they're fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're very Western focused.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it, right?
I highly recommend.
Highly recommend the game.
Yeah, highly recommend the game. If you like plot in games, if you like your mystery and... deductions and stuff like that. Oh, actually, you know what? That does remind me. There's one more thing. I did have the impression that the game would... since you're a detective and you're gathering clues and stuff like that, I thought there was going to be an Ace Attorney like level of interrogating somebody and throwing this evidence in your face.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much not like that. It's very simplified and easy.
Yeah.
So that if you can essentially do all the items and there are no consequences.
But then again, it also has the puzzle part, which then it would... It would add too much to the
game. So basically, don't expect Ace Attorney level styles of throwing evidence at people's faces and proving them wrong and like finding weird things in their testimonies, you know?
But if you did really enjoy Ace Attorney, this is definitely a game you would 100% enjoy.
Unless you like Ace Attorney because it's a goofy, lighthearted romp. This is a very dark game.
Yeah, if you wanted to go darker, then this would be the game to play.
Mm-hmm,
sure. So we're going to go into spoilers probably now. If you guys haven't played the game, I highly suggest you play it first. And then if you want to come back and listen to what we thought of the spoilers, then you can come back and listen. But yeah, I'll give you about like 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2, 1. In the game files, Kagami's assets are modeled and his models are tagged under the name Kaniski.
Kaniski. This is perfect. That's perfect.
Kaniski.
So the first point I want to go through, so the ARG, right? Yeah. They throw you down this path of Nizatlaws, which the idol tells you is a secret organization that is basically the Illuminati controls everything and they want to take over the world. Mm. And because she knows too much, they're trying to kill her.
And keep in mind, the ARG doesn't take place in the world of the game. It takes place in our world.
Yeah.
So as far as this separate series is confirmed,
because there's a sequence in the ARG where she plays this game
and she's going, trips out because she's like, what the hell, why am I dying in your video game in a gruesome way? So Nizatlaws exists in our world. I just want to put that out there. Nizatlaws, are you listening to us? Probably not. Nobody listens to us.
Probably not. So this ARG throws you on the path of the secret organization, and they do come up in the game, but for like...
as a red herring.
Like 1/8 or 1/10 of the game is about that.
Yeah, because everybody who's down with the Zero Escape series and watch the ARG is like, all right, Nizatlaws has a hand in these murders, has a hand in Konami Date's life and somehow his memory loss and stuff like that. And you go through and you hit the route where you find out Asa is not really looking for a date. She just wants protection from Nizatlaws.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as she says that, there's a shootout in downtown and you have to be protected. Like, you have to protect her. And then she dies, like, just by mysterious cause. And then you go to the other route and you find out, oh no, she's just wrong. Those are delusions.
Yeah.
That's what?
Yes.
And I went through the route, and Hitomi was essentially saying, yeah, she has a brain tumor. She gets hallucinations and delusions and stuff like that. And I'm going like, okay, is this to throw us off because Nizatlaws and whatnot has that power to throw us off? Nope, just doesn't exist.
Just doesn't exist.
Nizatlaws is a fucking red herring that does not exist.
It's really smart, though, because if you actually play the ARG, that ARG is going to push you to go that route first.
Yeah.
Right? And if you play that route first, you trip out, and then you play the second route, and then you're like, holy shit, that's why. Right? It's the perfect way to kind of get that reveal.
It kind of makes me, like the Shovelforge Minecraft Somnium, it kind of makes me wish that the first time you play it, Aiba isn't going, no, don't believe her. But the second time you play it, then Aiba's like, okay, yeah, don't believe her. Do something else. But I also get the idea of freedom. You don't want to like hard lock somebody into one route. You want them to have the freedom to go either route, even if one is way more obvious than the other.
The game has this, this is how the game kind of branches off. And I love this part of it because the first puzzle, it branches off because you have to do the puzzles or you do the pictures, right? And no, you do the balloons and then you do the pictures. And if you do the balloon, you see a body that looks like Iris.
Yeah.
Right. And because of that, your character ends up calling Iris and tells her to lock her door. Don't leave her room. Don't talk to anyone or anything like that.
But in the other route.
Yeah. And you don't tell her. So because you told her to stay out of her room in that route and every other route that follows that route, she doesn't get kidnapped.
Yeah.
But if you do the other route, she gets kidnapped.
Because you didn't see her body and it didn't freak you out. And you didn't bother calling her to say stay home.
And like,
so she gets kidnapped.
And then, but when you first play the route, you don't know that. Right. And you're just like, wait, what happened? Like, how did she get kidnapped? Well, why is this happening? And then you play the other route and you're like, okay, she's fine now. This isn't like, none of this stuff is happening in this side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out, like, they bring it up once in the story, like, she survived because you told her not to. And you're just like, holy shit. Like, it's smart in how they do these things, these small little things, and then it all connects.
And there are certain, like, when you get to the end game of this game and, like, some of the final conversations, Kaname is recalling conversations that he had to, like, flashbacks. So, like, the person he's talking to, I think it was Saito at the time, was saying, this is how I did this, this is how I did this. And then Date remembered, oh, yeah, because I remember this conversation with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened a couple of times. And then the third time it happened, Date says something about it. And Saito's like, how did you know that? And then Date's like, yeah, how did I know that? Whose memories are these?
Yeah,
what the hell? And then that's when the player realizes, oh, that didn't happen in this route. That happened
in a different route.
He's tapping into the morphogenic field or some crap. Oh, damn.
What's so smart, though, this game, is this key part of the story is the dream and the machine that they use, sync machine that they use to enter someone's dream. And they always tell you, it's like, okay, you can't go over, like, 5 minutes, I think it is? 6 minutes?
6 minutes.
You can't go over 6 minutes.
It's always 6 minutes.
You can't go over 6 minutes. They say every single time, and it's drilled into your head, right? So, apparently not mine.
It's been a while.
But and then the game seems like it sets you to believe that there's so many different suspects, and you don't know who really is this, like, the true suspect. And then at the end, it tells you, if you go beyond that 6 minutes, there's a side effect where your mind actually switches bodies.
Yeah, as soon as they revealed that, I'm like, oh.
Holy shit.
Oh, damn it. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, because it's so out of this world.
As well throw all my theories out the window.
Because they basically told you that if you go over 6 minutes, you pretty much lose your you lose your consciousness. And
you switch bodies.
You're trapped.
Yeah.
Like, no, they don't say you switch bodies. Before that, they just tell you, like, you're gone.
Yeah.
Like, your mind's going to be stuck in that person's head, and it's not going to have any will or anything, right? Mm-hmm. So you didn't even think that there would be a there's a possibility of you switching bodies until this came up.
It reminded me, by the way, I texted you and I'm like, oh my God, I just found out who the original Cyclops killer is. And you who already beat this game are like, who? And I'm like, what do you mean who? I'm talking to Peter. Yeah, but who? I'm like, 89 and, Kumakura. And you're like, oh, okay, that's where you are. I'm like, yeah. Well, you didn't say that's where you are, but
yeah.
I got the impression that that's what you were asking. I'm like, could Peter be wrong? Maybe Peter is wrong. Yeah,
because I play the game and they throw you in this loop where, like, okay, so she's the original Cyclops. Oh, no, wait, he's the original Cyclops. Okay, no, he's a new Cyclops killer.
And it throws you off fucking all these Saito Tsujima. Ah, that plot twist. So basic. Okay, so here's the thing. The only plot twist that I feel like wasn't well hidden enough was when Saito in his dad's body shoots you in the eye and says, ironic to be killed by your own father, despite the fact that there was never any hint that Date was So's son. And then I was like, oh, I kind of wish they didn't say that, because, like, I kind of spoiled it. Well, it didn't really spoil it,
because that was a small part.
That wasn't like half the puzzle.
So what ends up happening is Saito switched bodies and he was So Tsujima.
Yeah.
And Saito is the son of Soul Tsujima.
And can we talk about how in Mizuki's route, the one which was at the time the happiest route by far.
That's still one of my favorite routes.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite endings, but Iris is dead and so is in Iris's body. And in Ota's route, Saito is still alive and in the body of Boss. So those roots are actually really downer, and Ota's root specifically is actually gonna be bad.
Yeah. Should I continue?
Sorry?
Should I continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or do you want to talk about it a bit first before I reveal the whole thing?
Oh, are we revealing the whole thing?
I was just gonna go over the Soul Tsujima thing when he says, father, and how it turns on his head.
Go ahead.
So you end up finding that Saito is Soul Tsujima's father, right? I mean, it's not Soul Tsujima's father.
Right away.
It's his son. Yeah. It's Soul Tsujima's son, right? And the body that you're in is Saito Tsujima's body.
Yeah.
Right? And that it was pretty much a mind switch that happened that Saito Tsujima did a long time ago. That's why you have no memories from beyond 7 years or something like that.
Five
years.
By the way, Falco's theme, aka number 89's theme, is the title theme. Is a title screen theme.
Such a small thing. So as he said, like when Sōsajima saying, "How ironic for you to be killed by your father," it's Sōsajima saying it to his own body. Saito Tsujima saying it to his own body.
Yeah.
So he's basically saying, "How ironic for my body to get killed by my father's body."
Mm-hmm.
And it just throws that whole thing on its head again, because it's just like, man, like the way they just take the story bits and they're just like, oh, let's add a bit more shit to it, like just to make it a bit more spicy.
Yeah, everything to do with the Saito, like it's the whole all coming togetherness mm-hmm. of it was really well done. And I wish I said this before we hit the spoilers, but the fact that this is a complete story, that there's no sequel hook or anything to it,
mm-hmm.
it kind of, I kind of wish there was a sequel hook so I can keep thinking and theorizing after I beat it, but it's a done, definitive thing. I will say this, though, I was kind of expecting like a post-credits scene about Date going, "So, Aiba, you know, tell me about the Wadjet system that helped bring you back to life."
Mm-hmm.
And then she would talk about like, oh yeah, we don't actually know where the Wadjet system came from. It came from like a code from space. And then that's it. And then cuts black.
Yeah.
Because that would be a sequel hook, but also not a sequel hook.
And also not a sequel hook.
It would just make you think.
I would have loved that too. Because they do talk about the Wadjet system, but they don't go into too much detail on it.
Yeah, they didn't say where it came from. Iris had that theory, but it was debunked. Iris had that theory. As far as we know.
And then I remember Aiba, she had this random conversation in the car. They're like, oh yeah, I also have a self-destruct feature.
Yeah. And as soon as she said that, I'm like, all right, I wonder where it's gonna come into.
And it was just a random conversation in the car, and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, we should probably do like a code so that we don't do it.
It happened early enough that I think some people would forget it, mm-hmm. but because we played it in the span of 2 to 3 days.
Yeah, I remember every single ending. I was like, when's it going to come up? And then when it does, there's like a good 2 minutes before it happens. You're like, come on, do it.
There is that. And also at the same time, I'm like, oh no. The Aiba Date chemistry is the best in the game.
Yeah.
Like Date has good chemistry with everybody, but like Date and Aiba's chemistry is so on point. And no, Peter, why did you delete her? Off the cloud. Oh. That was a big explosion. I did not expect that big of an explosion.
It was huge.
His head literally just popped off and you just see the neck.
I was just expecting like his eye or like something to blow and then his right side of his head is just kind of
damaged. Like his brain starts just leaking out of his ears and nose and stuff like that.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting a massive bomb in his head.
Although now it totally makes sense that I love those hints of, oh, maybe Date's not getting enough injections. We have to up his dosage throughout the game because we find out, oh, Saito had, like, he needs oxytocin mm-hmm. Injections. Which makes me realize Date's first year without Aiba must have been hell for him.
Yeah.
He must have just been a miserable bastard.
He didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
That is true. I wonder how his first year was then. Did he start noticing a difference after? Because they don't really go over that.
No. Well, it's pretty much just assumed, I'm assuming, because there's nothing else. Unless they were giving him regular injections.
Also, should say the voice acting in this game was fantastic. English voice acting as well was really good.
Yeah. I actually listened to the A-set song in Japanese, and I'm like, I prefer the English.
Mm-hmm. Even Mizuki is probably my favorite voice act character.
Mizuki was so fucking good in this game.
Yeah, as a character and everything about her, she was just so good.
Like, as soon as she got her... Okay, so in your half, she got her voice back. Mm-hmm. And then my half, I fucked it up and brought back a bad memory and didn't bring her voice back. And I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, no.
But like, the first time you hear her voice, she's just talking shit to you.
No, not even the first time. Like, at first, like, she's sad and hugs you. And then, like, and then a minute right later, she's like, Date, you suck.
She's like, did you think I hugged you because I missed you? Nah, screw you, Date. I was like, what?
You were just the first person I saw. And I'm like, ah, this person. Also, do you have a theory about her powers? Her super strength?
I have no idea. I didn't think about that. I don't even think about it. I just thought it was just a random thing that they just threw in the game.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. Some people have theorized that, like, she was near the chemical plant explosion or something like that
she got super strength.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It was just weird. Like, that was the point when I was talking about in the Anon spoiler where it kind of would throw you off. That kind of threw me off, too. Mm. I was like, this game was so grounded before. Then you have this kid who's able to beat everyone. Okay.
Yeah.
Yo, there was that scene when there were the whole big-ass gunfight.
There was one in the warehouse.
Yeah. He was standing on top of the truck for a good, like, 3 minutes, and no one was hitting him. And there were bullet hits. Like, you can see the sparks going off everywhere around him.
These are soldiers who, when they see a magazine drop on the floor, they will stop and drop everything just to bend down and look at it. Like, even not even Metal Gear Solid soldiers do that. They would be like, why is this guy I'm trying to kill throwing a magazine? You know?
No, they would just, like, look at the magazine and be like, oh my god, it's amazing.
It's limited edition.
All run and look at it.
But the best part is, Date is the same. Like, when Aiba tricks Date into doing stuff, the main character you play as does the same stuff, and it's great.
That's the thing that kind of would throw some people off, I think, would be like, this game was so grounded, but then they have these out-of-these-world segments.
Yeah.
But it's still really good.
Because before
it adds some stuff to the game.
Yeah, because before the grounded sections of it were... Mm-hmm. Sorry, the non-grounded sections of it were just in the Somniums. The Somniums are really weird and fantastical.
They're dreams. Odd
things. And ironically, my favorite part of the game is Mayumi Somnium because of how grounded it is and how realistic it is. And
so let's talk about it a bit.
Okay. So do you want to talk about Mayumi's or...
Yeah, Mayumi's. Okay. She was my favorite as well. She was my favorite.
Kaname's,
well.
Kaname Date was a very close second, but Mayumi's, I think, was Mayumi's my favorite.
Mayumi's is great. So Mayumi is Ota, who's the stalker or fanboy of Aset. It's his mom.
Yeah.
Right? And
she has Alzheimer's.
So while you're playing the game, you find out weird things about her. Like, she says random things. She's kind of off.
She's not listening to us. What the hell?
You find out she has Alzheimer's, and so her memory is kind of spotty. Mm-hmm. And so the dream segment pretty much has to do with you uncovering the missing pieces of her memory.
Yeah, and they all have to do with Ota and, like, raising Ota, who's this ungrateful child, and
they have, like, the best dad in the world.
Yeah, and then that's the only time you see Ota's dad, and he's so cool.
Yeah.
And it's so heartbreaking because then you see the entire stage of Mayumi's she got the wrong chocolate for Ota and he got mad, and then finding out her husband died, and you can only find this by trying to unlock the memories that, like, she kind of forgotten in her brain.
It was so brilliantly done because, like, the Somnium, her brain is represented as her restaurant because she owns this restaurant, and there's patches of the restaurant that is missing. Mm-hmm. And then you unlock those patches by unlocking these memories. And it was so well done because, like, that restaurant was her world. It was what allowed her to get money to pay for Oda's education, which was basically the main driving force for his parents.
And then he just dropped out.
And then you see how the restaurant was her, like, way of escape when her father passed away. Mm-hmm. It was her connection to her husband, not her father, but her husband and her son.
Yeah.
Right? So this restaurant was a world to her, and that all these memories were linked to this restaurant was just like, and the music in the background was so somber, and, like, it makes you feel, like, so bad, right?
That's my favorite. Sinking in the Sustain. That's a track, and that's the very specific one I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
It made you hate Ota more because he's just an ungrateful, like, insensitive child. Mm-hmm. But that's also the route where, like, after that happens and you explain what you saw in Mayumi's brain, that Ota just a complete 180, and it's just like, okay, you're taking right steps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, man, that is such a good Somnium.
Yeah, and no matter what Ota did, where he was like, oh, I'm dropping out of school now, she's like, she just had a smile on her face, and she just said, all right, whatever makes you happy. And then it's just like,
no,
she was just
such
a good character. And his dad, where they're looking at the loans and they're like, how are we going to handle this? And they're like,
we'll just try our best. We'll just
keep trying our best. We'll take on more jobs just to support Ota.
And that is, like, that is the prompt. Like, you had the four prompts and, like, just keep trying our best. But that's the one that kind of, like, broke me. And I'm like, oh no, this, like, is so sad.
The dad was, like, one of my favorite characters, and he wasn't even in the game.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
He was like, he looks like some Bob's Burgers character.
Yeah.
And he looks so out of place. But then when you go through his Mayumi Somnium, it's like, oh, he's the best.
He's such a good character.
And the one where you play as Mizuki in Date's brain, also really good. The only thing is, like, kind of takes you out of it when like she lifts the fridge with one hand and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that was really good too. It was
still really good.
It does that. That was the one to get to the ending, the happy ending with Mizuki.
Yeah, and I did that one right after Ota's, so it was a tough act to follow.
Yeah,
in that one's defense.
Mm-hmm. And it basically goes on the route of Mizuki figuring out that she, because she lost her father figure, she lost her mother figure.
Well, no, she lost her dad and her mom, not their figures.
Yeah, but she also lost them as before they died, because they pretty much abandoned her, right, and left her with Date.
And she hated Date, and she didn't understand. Yeah, she didn't think Date gave a damn. But
after going through the Somnium, she realizes Date was that figure for her, but she just didn't realize for like the longest time.
And Date actually cared about Mizuki. He just didn't show it.
Yeah, they just had this chemistry where like they were just bantering back and forth. But it was just such a good, like, she starts off like kind of, Date, come on, wake up, just wake up already, like, stop being annoying. And then she goes through and you could see her sort of break in terms of like when she figures all this stuff out slowly throughout the Somnium.
When you get to the true end and Date's like, I remember you were crying at my bedside in the hospital, and Mizuki's like, that never happened.
You weren't even in the hospital. The relationship that was built off that one story is like,
I have an important question for you. Which ending would you prefer the universe to leave at? That ending, Ota's ending, or Mizuki's ending? Like the true end, Mizuki's ending, or Ota's end?
I don't know. My favorite character was Mizuki in terms of their character reaction between Aiba, Mizuki, and Date. So Mizuki ending was still my favorite to get to. But the true ending was by far the most satisfying in terms of everything coming
Everybody
together.
Everybody lived.
It also loses all the character development you have for those side characters.
No, well, Ota got his character development anyway.
Ota did get it, but like, Mizuki, you can't tell if Mizuki got hers or not.
But realistically, you probably wouldn't be able to tell in Mizuki Super either.
Yeah, because they're still the same.
Yeah. I think it's because Ota has his character development from a completely different route. You're supposed to assume that Mizuki has it as well. But ultimately, it's good. I want to play the game again. I wish there was replay value in that game.
The game throws you off in terms of like who's the main interest for the main character, right? Because like, it can't be Aset because she's too young.
Yeah, I never thought it was Aset.
But it can't be anyone else because they're all widely different ages. It can't be Boss because
I assumed it was either nobody or Hitomi. I had a feeling like there was maybe something with Hitomi, but she was probably gonna die or whatever.
Yeah, but Hitomi had so little screen time.
And then when they showed Hitomi liked she liked this criminal guy, and then you find out the criminal is the same criminal number 89, and you're like, oh, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah.
Apparently Hitomi was supposed to be the main character or main heroine of the game, and they ended up making Aset the main character instead, and Hitomi the mom. But like both characters I think were supposed to exist, but the main focus was supposed to be on Hitomi originally, but then they changed it to Aset.
Oh, okay. Because you're at the end when you realize that you're Falco and you were with Hitomi before. They don't really connect that thing back together. They kind of still leave it open at the end as well. Like, you don't know if they're gonna, I didn't even know if they were dating at the end.
I think it was implied that they were.
Was it implied? Because even when you talked to her, it was like very, like, just because normal conversation. No, it wasn't
it felt very awkward.
It felt like, very awkward, yeah.
Because before it was like kind of normal, cordial conversations. That time it was very awkward and be like, all right, well, what do I do? And the entire time Iris is going, yeah, do it. Do it right now.
Well, as in do it, as in get married.
No, she's saying do it right now. But you know what makes me sad a little bit? When we go to Hitomi's house with Iris at the very end, they say, all right, it's just going to be the three of us again. What about Mizuki? Date did adopt Mizuki.
Yeah, what about Mizuki?
I think it was just something that was overlooked.
Yeah, but it was like,
because when you talk to Mizuki, they talk about how Date legally adopted Mizuki. Like, the paperwork is done and everything.
Yeah. Man, such a good game.
What did you think of that end credits? The final end credits?
The dance? It was very funny. it was such a weird ending to the game, but it was like, okay, this makes complete sense that it would end this way.
Yeah, Honestly, it's never happened in any other Uchikoshi game, but for some reason it felt like it was exactly what Uchikoshi would do.
Mm-hmm. It's basically every single character in the game and character model dancing to the main theme, the main idol song.
And I'm pretty sure it's not canon because Hitomi was dancing with both arms despite one arm actually being injured.
I literally think it was just they just threw the character models and
I think did it's the just, dance. I think it's just, you know how Bollywood, some Bollywood movies just end with a big dance scene, even though it doesn't make sense? And half those characters are supposed to be in jail or dead or whatever. No, the actual dead characters were not there, and so the game was not there.
Yeah.
However, some Bollywood movies are like that.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure it's just like, oh yeah. It's just
but there was some dialogue in the during the dances that kind of makes sense to be canon. I think the Hitomi thing was just something overlooked.
Well, the only dialogue changes were. Ota saying, like, he's changed, I love you, Mom. Mizuki talking about, I'm going to kick your ass, Date.
And also the
kick to the forehead.
The thing with Aiba as well.
And then Aiba and Date having that little banter.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only differences.
That adds to it just being canon, right? So that's why I think the Hitomi part was kind of just an overlook that it was too much work for them to change the dance animation.
I think it'll be answered because you know how Uchikoshi does the whole answer everybody's questions after the fact, like a little bit after the fact. Unfortunately, he didn't do it yet. I know he was fielding questions on Twitter, but he didn't put his answer sheet up yet. But I'm pretty sure that's going to be one of the questions. How the hell was Hitomi dancing?
Yeah.
Maybe. What if he just says nanomachines?
That could actually be the case, but there's also one part at the at the end of the game. There's a little prompt that says, "You got a new addition to your menu. You got the dance menu added to your main menu." And then you click on it. It's really the dance number, but you could change the character model and the scene and the location.
I am really pissed off that you cannot choose. The original Rohan Kumakura.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I saw that, I was cycling through the characters as fast as I could. It's like, maybe I skipped them. No, I want to see this guy, this character.
It also took forever to cycle through the characters.
Huh?
It took forever to cycle through the characters. Every time I click R, I have to wait like a minute for them to like prompt.
It didn't take that long
for me. Were you playing Doctor Handle?
Handle.
Yeah, I was playing Handle. Not a minute. I'm exaggerating, but like 10, 15 seconds.
Man, I really want to play that game.
I was looking at I'm still looking at the how to beat thing, and it says zero replays.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because the only reason why you would replay it is getting all the pictures in the album. Oh, and also, so you know those conversations that I saw on your side, on your playthrough? I obviously skipped them on my side, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't unlock those terms in the files. Ooh. So like the Illuminati thing? So some of them are just permanently question mark until I go through them all. I'm like, oh, damn it.
Surprisingly, only one person retired the game, as in dropped, I think. I think that's what it means. So a lot of people who played the game actually beat it.
Although I wonder what the ratio of people who actually log their stuff on how to beat actually would drop a game, you know?
Maybe, yeah. It says 28 are playing and 94 beat the game.
Yeah, really good game.
Yeah, I loved the game. Definitely recommend this game to anyone.
We didn't mention it, but the Somnium that we had an issue with was obviously the big warehouse one.
The boss one with a bunch of doors.
Yeah, and you had to throw Renju's watch or whatever.
That's so messed up, man.
I hated that.
I was there when you were playing it, and I was just watching you get frustrated and be like, how you told me
before I started, use a guide on this one. Yeah. And I'm like, are you sure? Use a guide on this one. And as I'm using a guide, I'm going, what the hell? What the hell? There's door A, and then there's door A apostrophe. And they do that from door A to door F. So there's door A apostrophe, B, B apostrophe. Oh my God.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. But the game is overall still amazing game. I was so glad that I just found it randomly and just picked it up and decided to play it because it was such a pleasure to finish start to end in 2 days as well. Like that just tells you how invested I was in this game.
Proof that interesting covers still work.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Interesting synopses and interesting covers.
Please don't have generic dude man with gun on cover. Please have interesting, colorful artwork on your
proper artwork would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, any final thoughts, Quasar?
I mean, it just felt like such a complete game that I feel like I could talk on and on about it. Mm-hmm. The only other thing I wanted to talk about is I saw something on the news yesterday, and I sent you
these pictures. Oh, yeah, you sent it to me.
So there's a, I'm going to just pull up that WhatsApp conversation I sent you. But there was a Yakuza group, the biggest Yakuza group in Japan. The number two of it was in prison, and he was on the news for, like, when he exited the jail, he was wearing, like, an $8,000 Italian jacket and, all like, $1,000 undershirt and stuff like that. And then I kept reading the stuff, and he's like, he left Fuchu Prison. Oh, I thought Fuchu Prison was, like, a made-up thing.
Mm.
And I kept reading it. And then I read more, and it's like, known as the One-Eyed Gangster, Takayama reputedly suffered an injury to the right eye after a sword fight early in his career. Either this guy was the inspiration for Rohan Kumakura, or we're about to get people's eyeballs ripped out in the near future.
I hope it's not the latter.
If it is a latter, then we could break the case right away because of our like implicit knowledge
of this game.
Yeah.
Uchikoshi was preparing us all along for this. The thing was, like, it was published by Spike Chunsoft, and it had literally, like, I did not hear about this game beforehand at all. Like, it basically had no advertising to me.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I wish these games had more advertising and more, like, weight behind it, but I think the ARG was one of the most interesting advertising campaigns. I just wish
it was, but it only appealed to the people that were interested in it.
Yeah, not a lot. I wish it had a more conventional push as well. Yeah. Because it 100% deserved it. It totally deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the replay value is, like, I understand people not wanting to play, like, spend $90 Canadian on this game that they won't be able to replay unless, say, it's like, you know, you're buying this game to lend to friends, or, you know, you can't, you're like, you're a busy person and you can't sing it, like, finish it in 2 days, so you're gonna play an hour a day or something like that.
Yeah,
that makes more sense. However, I get it. Yeah, but I would highly recommend play it no matter what. Play it, man.
Find a way to play it and play it, because it's such a good game.
All right,
anyways, I think that concludes our episode on AI Somnium Files.
The Somnium Files. Spelled AI, The Somnium Files.
If you guys enjoy listening to us, and if you guys would like to follow us or just talk to us, you could email us at dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. That's O-N-E, dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. Or you can even hit us up at Instagram and Twitter at dayoneupdates. That's dayoneupdates with the S at the end there. Yeah, just let us know what you guys think. Let us know what you guys think about the game and your experience with it, if you guys want, because I'm interested to see how you guys play the game.
We should, you know what we should do? Before we cut to the spoiler path, we should repeat our email, social media stuff.
True.
Or we'll just add it to the front.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, I hope if you guys listen to it, I'm really grateful that you guys listen to us. And if you guys enjoyed it, please share it with any of your friends. It would really help us out a lot. And thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you guys on the next one, next time, whatever, the next recording. Bye.